Derek, you know, as we were doing show prep for the night.
Whoa. We do show prep?
Always. We always do show prep for this show. It just, generally, it, like everything in life, sometimes it's the length that matters.
Jesus.
It's going to be one of those episodes.
Apparently it is, Mike. You're setting the tone.
I know. But no, we before we were kind of jumping into the podcast, we were talking about what do we want to talk about tonight. And most importantly, we had a great guest tonight, Mike Smith, the web's own Michael Smith. And we'll try to answer the question, does he own the web or does the web own him? You know, we've got Michael Smith, but we started talking about what do we want to talk about tonight. It's All-Star Weekend. It's kind of that mid-break for the Canes. We don't have another pod. We don't have another game for basically 10 days. And there's kind of a lot of what-ifs that we're talking about, right, with free agents and free agency and contracts and lots of things to talk about. The Tavo signing, all of the stuff going on with Ferland, kind of every – all of hockey.
Gary may have a trade to announce.
He might. I mean, just all of the things that are happening and all of the conversation around the National Hockey League is about what if. So, Derek, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What if we were not the reigning, defending, undisputed podcast champion of Raleigh? How good would the Carolina Hurricanes still be?
See, I can't really picture that future, Mike.
I can't.
I don't like to deal in hypotheticals of that. That extreme nature. So
I know we're, but we got a lot of great cheat mail questions, and a lot of those kind of were in that kind of what if category. So we're gonna throw out a few hypotheticals tonight. I think we might even go down a memory lane or two. All-Star Weekend, you know, All-Star Weekend was here at one point. I think you may remember it fondly, Derek. I know I remember it fondly.
I have several memories from that weekend of varying quality. And that is not an alcohol-related statement.
It's an opioid-related statement. Is the truth.
Yeah.
Stick around for that after that.
You're making me look really bad. So people tune out right now. I was not abusing any sort of prescription drugs that weekend. I took the prescribed amount because I had the flu and I was told to stay home, but I didn't. So also, you're welcome, Raleigh. Patient Zero is on the podcast.
Also, it said right on the side of the container, do not take with alcoholic beverages.
Yeah, but it had that winky eye.
Oh, did it?
So I thought it was winking at me.
Good. Yeah, that was after you drank the first one.
Yeah, don't take with alcohol. Wink.
This podcast may be best taken with alcohol. I don't know. Mike Smith had alcohol before he interviewed with us, not like immediately before, I think last night. But, you know, if you're taking snippets of this, take it for what it's worth. Derek, I feel like we're a little bit all over the place, but it's kind of that time, right? We don't have a game for 10 days, 8-3-1 in January. Mm-hmm. What in the hell happened, Derek?
Well, we won 8 games.
Okay.
We lost 3 of them in regulation.
How?
The other team scored more. And then we lost 1 in an overtime session.
Derek, quick. So we lost a total of 4 games last month.
Correct.
Name all 4.
No.
Okay. 1 was Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
1 was Calgary.
1 was... Who did we show up completely crappy against at home last Friday? Ottawa.
Yeah, I was going to say Ottawa is the other game. And then one more. A place that we haven't won, I think, since the 30s.
Oh, against the Rangers.
Madison Square Garden. That's it. We played some very, very good teams, had some tough road games. And in January, we lost to the Calgary Flames, one of the top 2 teams in the West. We lost to the best team in the East by giving up 2 goals on the power play in the final 6 minutes in the Tampa Bay Lightning. We just laid an egg at home, which we do once a month because I think by contract we have to do that.
It's in the CBA.
And we stunk it up against the Rangers and MSG.
Mm-hmm.
Where we haven't won since when, Derek?
Taft was in office?
No.
99?
No.
No, no, it's Vancouver was the one in 99.
Vancouver was 1999.
The last time we won against the Rangers in MSG was Jeff Skinner's first appearance there.
Skinner's rookie season, that is correct.
Yep, because I remember the breakaway he had against Henrik Lundqvist and watching it with some buddies and going, huh, Skinner kid's not bad.
Yeah, he could be good.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
Not really sure.
Yeah, I think he's in San Jose this weekend. We're not in San Jose this weekend. We're still podcast all-stars, though. Derek, if you were to announce a Eastern Conference podcast all-star team, who's your top five? I mean, what's your five?
I legitimately don't listen to enough other team podcasts.
So at center for the East, I've got to put 31 Thoughts. You know, Merrick and Elliot.
Okay. Right?
They're playing center. On wing, on left wing, you got to put Puck Soup, right?
Because
on left wing, you put the guy from Buffalo. You don't have to love him, but they're talented enough, and they've been around forever.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, in order of podcasts, I love the Bobcast. I just didn't know where you're placing him.
I think Bobcast is more of your first pair defenseman.
Okay.
The Bobcast is Bobby Margarita, Bob McKenzie. I think we are the second defenseman pair. I'm going to pair us, Cheaters Never Win, with the Bobcast. On the other wing, let's go somewhere just random on the other ring. Pod Save America, I don't know. Cereal. I don't know.
This is why I didn't want to go down that road, because I can't name enough podcasts. One thing I would ask you, though, Mike, you mentioned we are podcast all-stars. If you could compete in one NHL Skills Challenge event, which event would you, Mike Flanagan, compete in?
Oh, that is a great... the draft drinking competition.
Okay, that is not a sanctioned event. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It's just not sanctioned by the league.
That's why it no longer happens. But damn, yeah. Alex Ovechkin might have had the funds during that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for those of you and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, let's take a quick stroll down.
Can you answer
my
damn question?
What was your question again?
Which NHL Skills Challenge event would you compete in?
I would compete in. Okay, is it Mike Flanagan or is it the Cheaters Never Win?
It is you, Mike Flanagan.
I am competing in.
And this is if you have your ideal skill set. Not like you have to just get out there today and try to make it work.
Oh, which one would I most enjoy?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going out there for the hardest shot.
Okay.
That's the whole, like, you know, just shoot your shot one time, just. Bang, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not tall enough to do that. I'm not strong enough to do that. I'm going to come. I am the John Carlson of this year's hardest shot competition.
Now, I will say this. Al Iafredi was not the tallest man.
Al Iafredi also had a wood stick.
That's right. So did Al MacInnis.
Yes.
And they beat the hell out of some pucks. I don't know what pucks did to those gentlemen in former lives. But they were haunted by pucks. So, look, everyone loves the hardest shot. It's probably the, you know, quote-unquote sexiest of these skills challenge events.
And I don't know why, because fastest skater should be.
Yeah.
You think about the amount of sports where speed is important versus, you know, just, like, hardest... Steph Curry does not have the hardest three, but there is a speed concept to the...
hot, nasty, badass speed?
Yes.
Shout out to Eleanor Roosevelt.
What? Yeah.
Talladega Nights.
Okay.
I would... Since you've taken the hardest shot, I won't say that for me. I also like the accurate shot contest.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you can... I think they may have changed the rules, but, you know, the highlights that you'd see of, like, Roenick or Gino or somebody going 4 for 4.
Fuck you, Gino.
Yeah, and same to Roenick. But just, like, that's fun. I like that a lot. The passing contest that Aho's in, we'll talk to Mike Smith about that a little bit more later on. Like, that's more interesting than it is exciting, because there are sometimes when you just see one guy struggle and it's like he's just missing puck after puck from those tiny nets, and it's like... That sucks the fun out of the event. It's like when they change the dunk contest at the NBA All-Star Game and you see the same guy trying the same dunk 5 times and then he finally lands it. It's not exciting when he gets it right on the 6th try.
I kind of want to see somebody tonight, and we're recording Friday night, the night of the NHL skills competition out in San Jose. I want to see one of the guys in that precision passing contest, after they've missed that long center ice pass like four or five times, just skate across center ice, pick up that tiny little net and just throw it into the crowd. Just go full heel turn.
So if any of these players are listening retrospectively,
yes.
If that happened, I will PayPal them one American dollar.
I will PayPal them five Canadian dollars.
So we have the same bet.
Exactly.
All right.
But if, if after you've watched tonight's NHL skills competition, you've got thoughts on us, hit us up over on the Twitter at @section_328.
Respect the underscore.
And, we love to talk about this stuff. It's a great weekend. It kind of reinvigorates you. But it's also interesting that
Biggin's the boldest man, Mike.
Well, the Canes aren't out of it. We're not quite in it yet. But we're not out of it. So it's a little bit of a different conversation. And again, as we talked with Mike Smith about, it's kind of a little, there's a little bit different feel. I'm not hopeless. I don't want to say I'm hopeful, mm-hmm. but I'm not hopeless. I'm hopish.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you have nothing, sometimes all you got is dad-ish. Derek has no idea where to go with this.
I don't. I was trying to think of some terrible, like, the hope is half full kind of thing. It's awful.
I was hoping you were going to go day one-ish, because it's also Royal Rumble weekend.
It is. And I don't want to lose people who don't enjoy wrestling, but for those of you who listen to this podcast who do enjoy wrestling, our friends Tom and JC, who run the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, they have been doing that for 2 years now. Wow. They just celebrated their second anniversary.
Congratulations.
So feel free to
guys.
Get them any sort of cotton that you can find for their second anniversary.
I also, now that Pirate Sports Radio and ECU obviously has a chancellor, I have reaffirmed my right as the weekly hockey pundit back on Pirate Sports Radio 950 and 1250 with @TweetingClip, the sports bar with Clip Brock, back with them on a weekly basis to talk hockey. So thank you to Pirate Sports Radio for having us back. Download the Pirate Sports Radio app. You can hear me once a week there. I was actually on Wednesday to talk Royal Rumble. I did a little fantasy booking and challenged, I believe, what to be a former ECU basketball player who's not named Blue Edwards. I did not realize there was another basketball player
they had
not
others.
Named Blue Edwards, Michelle and Ziggy. Ziggy, I actually challenged him to a cage match.
Okay.
He's currently playing, I think, in Europe. So if he ever comes back from Europe, Derek, you may need to find a new podcast host.
Damn, I had some. Oh, yeah. The other thing, we're talking media stuff with our pal, Mr. Workrate, Tom. Took Joe Ovius to the woodshed.
Oh, that shed.
In some NHL 94. So thank you to Mr. Workrate for holding it down with the old school games.
And thank you to Joe Ovius for completely sucking. Jesus, man, what were you thinking? You took on the one, the only Mr. Workrate. He came in second place to the guy who won the only ever Raleigh NHL 94 championship. He is a legend in our minds. And you offered to pay for tacos. You took his skill and added tacos. What are you thinking, man?
Apparently he wasn't.
He wasn't. We should hit that MX button.
Too. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win, the All-Star Break Edition. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we're here using our best radio voices on behalf of Sports Channel 8, the radio show, brought to you every Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon. Also brought to you by the good folks of AutoX and Dawn from Fathom Realty. She is @Caniac_Realtor.
Respect the underscore.
Two of those three people are great sponsors. One of those people are Hayes Permar. Hayes, send us our damn money.
We're just calling Hayes out like that?
Damn right we're calling Hayes Permar out.
Okay.
I really enjoy the Sports Channel 8 radio show. Saturday mornings, it's a little bit quieter around here. You know, I'm not taking my normal like 6:30, 7 o'clock a.m. shower. So, you know, the fact...
I don't need to hear about how you get naked and listen to Hayes. I really don't.
I wasn't going to say that, but since you've brought it up, 10 to noon over on 99.9 The Fan.
All nude, tastefully done.
Does the world need, you know, the Weather Moose and Ben Swain, you know, just on WRALSportsFan.com, just at least shirtless doing the show? Probably not, but
I think that is one way that we'll let the weather people decide. That is how the weather report could get increasingly Joko.
The Joko weather report. Rightly rated, me listening to Hayes doing the show while I'm nude, or Hayes listening to himself play back the show while Hayes is nude.
That's worse.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's worse.
That's what I thought.
Also worse continuing this conversation, so let's just move right the hell along, Mike.
That's what we do here. We move along from things. Michael Smith will be here in just a few moments, live and direct from San Jose, to give us his report from the All-Star game. Derek, big West Coast road swing this week. I'd like to go with your in-depth analysis. Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. Which game had the best forecheck?
You rotten son of a bitch, Mike.
It was Canes After Dark. If we were watching, we were hammered, right?
Yeah. And since I had a sick 1 and not quite a half-year-old, as soon as it got dark outside and she was any semblance of asleep, so was I.
Yeah.
I can tell you my reactions as I checked the Score mobile app and saw scores. So the first game, I was like, okay.
The first game in Edmonton, you're like, okay, that's it? That was an ass whooping. They put up a touchdown on Edmonton.
The okay was out of surprise based on the results of the previous two games where we just mailed it in. It was
from Ottawa.
Yeah, it was like, okay, where has this been? Then the second game was, okay, now we're back to the Canes. And then the third one was, okay, now I don't know what to make of it.
5 out of 6 points on the Western Canada road swing when you knew you were going to face. And again, but that's what we needed, right? You expect 2 points out of Edmonton. You expect,
I don't know that you do now, Mike. Hitchcock has that team more competitive, more consistently than it was under McClellan.
Who?
Todd McClellan?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Not Peter Chiarelli.
Gosh, that is a...
God, if only we could have fleeced him for a 1-for-1 trade.
We have a trade to announce. Victor Rask for Leon Draisaitl.
No, come on. Let's be fair now. It would have been Pesci for Draisaitl.
Let's talk about the... I don't know if we've had a chance to really talk about the Victor Rask trade on this podcast.
We haven't?
I don't think we have. Victor Rask for Nito Niederreiter. El Nino, which is Spanish for...
The Nino.
The number 5 draft pick drafted him. I believe he was drafted before Jeff Skinner in the Jeff Skinner draft, if I recall correctly.
Is that so?
I believe so, maybe.
Hold on. I'll do this show prep we talked so much about earlier.
Yeah, show prep we talked so much earlier.
Was it was the 2010 draft.
It was something like that. So, as we looked up and down this roster, one of the... just boat anchor contracts that this team had.
You nailed it, Mike. Good job.
Thank you.
Can you name the player drafted betwixt Nino Niederreiter and Jeff Skinner?
Give me the team.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa Bay. Yeah, I don't know.
If you get this, I will PayPal you one American dollar.
No, I have no idea.
Brett Connolly.
Ooh, Brett Connolly. He was good for a year and a half.
Yeah. Number 8, Alex Burmistrov. 9, Mikhail Granlund. 10, Dylan Mikkelrath. I don't know what that is.
That was a thing once.
Yeah. Jack Campbell went 11 to Dallas. He was supposed to be the next great American goalie before John Gibson came along.
And Alex Nedeljkovic, who is currently undefeated as a National Hockey League goalie.
And at 15, the LA Kings took Derek Forbort, and then the Staples Center was immediately out of Forbort license plates.
Forbort.
So there you go.
There you go. That happened. Yeah, no. So it was an interesting West Coast swing.
We were talking about the trade a little too before.
Again, any last things on the West Coast swing? We got more points than I expected. I expected to get 3 points out of that swing. I fully expected a loss to Calgary and then an overtime loss to Vancouver. So I feel like we actually stole a win, 5 out of 6 points, to close out the month of January, even though it is currently, what, January 25th. Mm-hmm. But that was the last we will play in January, 8-3-1 on the season, 8-3-1 on the month of January. And just a solidly respectable month after December threw us a couple of curveballs where we didn't know if this team was the December 29th just malaise and awful version that lost to the New Jersey Devils, or were we all of the fun that we had at home during December?
Yeah, who the hell knows? Looking at the standings, though, and again, things that we talked about with Michael Smith that you'll hear momentarily, the Canes are currently, I believe, 4 points out of a wild card spot, but we have played 2 additional games over the teams ahead of us. So, assuming they get a point per game, we'll be 6 points back.
6 points back with 32 to play. I'm okay with that.
It's not an insurmountable hill to climb, but it's tough. The one thing that's working in our favor is there aren't a ton of teams in between the Hurricanes and the Wild Card. It's not like there are 5 or 6 points and there are 4 teams sitting there that are in that spread. It's basically there's only one team between us and that Wild Card right now, and I think that's Buffalo.
Right.
The way it sits. And Buffalo was buoyed by a really hot stretch. We have come back into life by a really hot stretch. So let's see what happens. At least it's interesting. There are some things that are going to happen. You talked about the trade deadline earlier on, and we're talking in hypotheticals and the what-ifs of the NHL. Those are some things that are going to have to shake out of what do the Canes do? Who do we trade? Who do we trade with? What sort of pieces, based on who we trade with, what sort of pieces are we getting back? Do they help us this year? Do they help us next year? It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest out there, a lot of interesting things that could happen. And before we get to those interesting things, let's get to the most interesting thing going on in sports this weekend, which is the NHL All-Star Game.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I'm as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
Derek, we have one of the preeminent voices in Canes podcast land on the line with us right now, coming live and direct from San Jose at the All-Star Game, the Web's own. Yes, he owns the Web, or the Web owns him, I'm not sure. The Web's Michael Smith. Michael Smith from CarolinaHurricanes.com. How are you, sir? First question, what is the best beer you have had in your first 36 hours in San Jose?
Well, look, that's quite the introduction. I hope I'd live up to the hype. Yeah, best beer. I've had a couple here. Went to Uproar Brewing last night here in downtown San Jose and had a very tasty West Coast IPA. I believe I've had it before, but they renamed all their beers after hockey terms last night. So I believe it was the Power Play IPA last night. I don't think it's that usually, but it's very delicious. Some good beers there if you enjoy a tasty beverage.
Yeah, I think both Mike and I enjoy tasty beverages. So, obviously, you were there. The main man for the Hurricanes who was there is Sebastian Aho. How is his first All-Star experience going? I know you put something up on the Web, which either owns you or you own. We're still working that out. But that he is participating in the NHL, I forget the exact wording, the Premier Passer event tonight.
Correct.
So, what's that event all about, and how's it going for Aho so far?
So he's really enjoying it so far. He's got his brother and his girlfriend in town, and they're really just taking in the whole experience. The premier passer should be a lot of fun to watch. I know he's a little bit nervous about it because it is, I don't know if you remember from last year, it is one of the more difficult challenges, especially when you get to the middle of the ice and you have to put the pucks in those really tiny nets and you have to sauce the pucks over the barrier and everything and then get them right into the net. He's a little bit nervous about that, but, you know, he's got 35 assists this year. I think he might do just fine.
Yeah, I think that Aho kid is going to do all right. Mike, as a hockey pundit who's been doing this for quite some time, could you break down who has the advantage between the four teams, Atlantic, Metro, Central, and Pacific? Who is your picked to come out of the All-Star game the winner?
Well, that's the tough thing is because take any of the rosters, you look at one of them, you're like, all right, that's going to be the winner. And then you move on to the next division. You're like, all right, well, maybe not. Maybe that's the winner. They're all really good teams. They're all really good squads. The Pacific stuff, I do think the Pacific has a pretty good team. The Metropolitan Division, I think, would have a better chance if Alex Ovechkin had stayed in the festivities. I mean, obviously the Atlantic has got some powerhouses and the Central is not to be overlooked either, but I like their goaltending, especially with Pecorine. And that's obviously going to be important once we get to the 3-on-3 tournament, because it is going to be wide open and it might come down to whoever can make a save, last really. So, you know, I hope for Aho's sake that, the Metropolitan Division puts up a good fight tomorrow. I believe they're playing in the second game. We'll have to check on that, but hopefully they can win the first game and advance to the final, because you know, I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoy this 3-on-3 tournament. And once you get to that second game when that $1 million is on the line, the boys pick it up a bit, and it turns into a pretty serious competition.
Yeah, it definitely tightens up a little bit in that one. Last thing I'll ask as far as predictions, I think, I don't know, I may ask another one as this goes on, but Mike and I were just talking off the air about the hardest shot competition, and I wish there were more than four guys who were going to be in this one tonight, because it's just fun to see people beat the hell out of a puck. So the four guys that are in there, it's Burns, John Carlson, Seth Jones, and Stamkos. Who you got in that one?
Well, I mean, the home crowd will want to see Burns put on a show, right? Stamkos can smack a puck, so I'm going to go one of them. I think Seth Jones might be maybe a sneaky candidate. I don't know if John Carlson's going to be up there, but I'm going to go either Burns or Stamkos, and we'll give the hometown guy a nod and go Burns.
Yeah, you know, Smitty, you've been around the Canes for quite some time, and I believe you were hanging around Raleigh and Chapel Hill when the Carolina Hurricanes hosted the All-Star game, and you've had your chance to go to quite a bit of the All-Star game. So maybe for Caniacs who haven't had a chance to experience an All-Star weekend, what are your kind of like two or three highlights for an All-Star weekend to kind of encourage Caniacs to maybe invest in the ticket and join you at the NHL All-Star game next year?
Yeah, it'll be in St. Louis next year. What I think they've done a real good job over the years with is the fanfare, which is just an all weekend event that's got tons of stuff going on throughout the day. And fans can come and go from it. There's tons of stuff in there. And they usually put it in a big space in like a convention center. I believe it was in the convention center in Raleigh when it was there in 2011. It's here at the convention center here in San Jose. There's just tons of stuff to do there. That's one of, I think, the big highlights. The skills competition is always fun. That's when I think the guys' personalities really come out. It's one of the more enjoyable aspects of the weekend. And of course the game, now that it's this 3-on-3 tournament, I think has breathed some new life into the event. That's fun to watch too. I do miss the fantasy draft, which made its debut in Raleigh. I thought that was pretty fun. But the league has done a good job keeping this thing fresh and exciting, because at the end of the day, that's what you want it to be.
The fantasy draft, I thought, was especially a lot of fun when the guys who weren't on stage and waiting to be drafted were obviously having their selection of their favorite beverage.
Oh, Kessel.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, correct. Ovi was tipping a few back during those.
Ovi's Russian.
And I'll, I'll be interested to see how they handle Media Day again next year, because they changed it up this year, and it was actually pretty cool because for the first time, fans could come in and sort of watch everything take place, and they each had earpieces that they could tune to the different interview pods. So you could sit in the crowd at this theater setup they had and tune your earpiece and listen into any of the interviews, and they had videos up on the screens. So it was really a very interactive experience, much different from in years past when it's basically just restricted to media stuff and behind-the-scenes photo shoots and stuff. This was a much more fan-facing event, which I thought was pretty cool.
Mike, you could not have set me up for a better transition by saying how this year is different from years past and more focused on fans and pretty cool. And what you and the rest of the digital and social teams are doing with the Hurricanes is seems a lot more fun to the fans, seems a lot more fan-friendly and engaging. What is different about what you do on a day-to-day basis, either things that we don't get to see or just the kinds of stuff that you and the rest of the web team are able to put out that is making this a much more enjoyable season for fans looking to consume digital content of their favorite local hockey team?
Yeah, I appreciate the compliments. And honestly, for me, the workflow isn't too much different than it has been in years past. We did bring in Dan Ladaraca, who used to work for the Carolina Panthers and the Brooklyn Nets. And he did a great job with the Panthers' Twitter handle in general, just making that really one of the best in sports. And I feel like he's come in and really left his mark on our social media properties in just the few short months that he's been with us. But really a big credit to what we've been able to do this year is the guys in the locker room. And that starts from head coach Rod Brindamore, getting that access in the locker room post game to, his speeches that he gives. Captain Justin Williams, credit him for really having the ideas and the creative genius behind the Storm Surge celebrations, just stuff like that. It makes our job easier. When the guys are having fun and we can pretty plainly show them having fun, it makes our job so much easier. And so I really have to give a credit to really the team and what they've been able to do this year. It has been a fun year. It's been a real fun year, and I hope the fun continues, well into April and May and perhaps even June.
As do we. And in the middle of December, it felt much like we were falling into ye olde trap of we had gotten excited to get at the beginning of the season, but then out of nowhere, an 8-3-1 January and a team that seemingly was winning games where maybe you were like, maybe they're going to win, maybe they're not going in. But legitimately, taking an L to Calgary and taking a loss to Tampa, really two of those four losses were to two of the best teams in the National Hockey League. Let's turn our focus a little bit to the product on the ice, and you get a chance to travel with the team, see the team, see exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Give us Kaniac's hope, on April and May. What's different this year than previous years that it's not just the February streak to put us in drafting at number 12 came a month early? Why should we think this is going to continue?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the hope. And if the Hurricanes want to get in the playoffs, I think the reality is they're going to have to continue to play as they did in January and string those types of games together. Because, when you look at it, the Hurricanes they're 4 points out now, but after the bye week, they're likely going to be out by a handful more. And that's going to put them behind the eight ball. But to your point, it does somewhat feel different this year. And I honestly think that starts with the guy behind the bench and Rod Brindamore. And this is a coach who the players want to win for. You talk to any of those guys in the room and they say, look, you look at how he carried himself in his career, how hard he worked. You look at how hard he works as a coach. And that's a guy they don't want to let down. When he, when he said he was going to put on the skate suit up and get out onto the ice after that loss to Ottawa, the players responded with an incredible effort in Edmonton and won 7-4. And that's a credit to, hearing what he had to say and then not wanting to let him down for the second game in a row. And I think that speaks volumes. And Rod Brindamore, I think, is the right guy for this job. He's going to continue to improve as a head coach. He's a rookie at that too, I think we all have to remember, and he's had his learning moments throughout the season, but I think the different feeling all starts with him and just trickles down from there.
So, Mike, I have a quick question for you. I know Mike has some cheat mail that is pending and perhaps sure. a harder-hitting question than what I have. But as a web producer and writer, as your Twitter bio says, which yes. name are you more concerned that you're going to misspell? The Michael in Michael Ferland or yeah. the Niederreiter in Nino Niederreiter?
Well, at first I spelled both of them wrong, but I quickly corrected that. I feel like I have both of them down now, almost to where when I start to write my name, I'm starting to put the E before the A, and that's very concerning to me.
I love that. Instincts tell me you're probably not going to have that problem in about 29 days, but you know, that's just between us kids here who aren't listening to the podcast. Mike, so sure. we reached out to the Caniac Nation for a couple of Twitter questions, and this one came in from our buddy Jason Mariani. He is at College Caniac, and he said, "Hey, Section 328, cheat mail for Michael. How much does it hurt inside?" Knowing that the Canes cast is not the reigning, defending champions of sports podcast in Raleigh.
Well, you know what? We might just have to settle it, right? We'll just have to get together and do a big mashup pod and give the people what they want. It's been long enough.
I think we're doing this. This is live on a podcast that's recorded. Are you saying that cheaters never Canes cast, the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Battle Royal, cage match that Raleigh
mono
podcast
mono.
Have wanted, we're saying yeah. cheaters never Canes cast is going to happen sometime between now and the end of time.
We'll even make it sooner and say the end of 2019.
Wow, I can dig it.
I can dig it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first, confirmed by the web's only Michael Smith.
We just have to find the time
versus
when
Kings
I'm actually.
Cast.
Yeah, we just have to find the time when I'm actually in Raleigh, because I feel like I've been in Raleigh maybe like 3 or 4 days this month. It's been wild.
Well, I think it's less about you, and I think it's more about, you know, trying to find a time that the big rig doesn't have an excuse to actually show up and actually have a match. I feel like he's the Undertaker, where he's like, you know, it's not WrestleMania, so I'm not showing up. And then, you know, he only shows up every couple of years. But you know what? We'll figure this out. Folks, he is at M. Smith Canes over on the Twitter. More importantly, direct all of your traffic to CarolinaHurricanes.com to read all of the great stories that Mike's putting out, not only this weekend, but throughout the remainder of the season. Michael is on site with Sebastian Aho, giving you all of the behind the scenes of this weekend's All-Star event. Michael Smith, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. We really do appreciate it. Any last minute predictions for the Carolina Hurricanes? Actually, if I can go one more, you know,
okay, yeah, why not?
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it
okay.
back.
Yeah.
Sebastian Aho is going to get 100 points in the 2018-2019 Carolina Hurricane season.
How many points was that?
100.
100 points. Oh God. I'm gonna take it because I want to see it happen. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to keep it because I want to see it happen. And I do believe he's talented enough to get it. And now that he's got a guy, he's playing with a guy, Nino Niederreiter, who seems to be putting the puck in the net with some frequency. I say there's a decent chance he might get there.
Excellent. Do you have one for us? Of course you
yeah.
don't. You oh. don't. You don't. Oh, no, go ahead. No, you don't.
No, I actually don't.
No, don't.
I was lying.
No, you don't. That's why we are the reigning, defending, undefeated sports broadcast champions of Raleigh. We look forward to seeing you at Cheaters Never Canes Cast. Once again, folks, M. Smith Canes over on the Twitters. Make sure you're following him, and make sure you're going over. Just randomly click on, like, CarolinaHurricanes.com like 20, 30 times a day, because I think that gets him a bonus from Tommy D. Mike, thanks so much. Enjoy the West Coast. We'll see you when you get back to Raleigh.
Boys, I appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, man. Man, Derek, I don't want to build it up too much, but I don't think I can build it up enough. I cannot wait for us to go full just Young Bucks super kick party on Kane's Cast.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be fun.
So, Mike, before we set everything up tonight, we talked about we were going to talk with Mike Smith about the All-Star game.
Right.
And
which we did.
And in the intro, you talked about we'd have some All-Star game nostalgia a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that I was abusing opioids. And right. I wanted to clear the air a little bit now that we've had that interview with Mike.
I didn't say you were abusing opioids, but Derek, if there's anything you feel like you have to get off your chest, I mean, go right ahead.
Well, you kind of bribed the pump there. But no, that the All-Star weekend that was in Raleigh, now, God, that was 8 years ago now, Mike.
Yes.
That is truly shocking. I had the flu. I was told by the doctor that Wednesday or Thursday, hey, stay in this weekend. And I was like, no. The All-Star game may never happen again here. So and
we had friends visiting from Canada.
Yes.
Who were staying with you.
They were staying with me.
Who were bringing delicious Canadian beer that at that point, North Carolina had not released, you know, the ability to have anything other than virtually Bud Light.
Oh, well, no. Pop the Cap happened in 06. We were good. 05 or 06. We were good.
We got Creemore.
Oh, yeah. We still can't get that because Creemore doesn't distribute outside of Ontario. So that happened. But I was like, give me the drugs I need because I'm going to this All-Star game. So I got hooked up with some good drugs, but I still felt like death due to the flu. However, the other that was the lows of All-Star weekend, the highs of All-Star weekend. On a personal note, that's when I started dating my now wife. So that's fantastic. And then on a hockey level of highs, goalie chanting Marc-Andre Fleury during the All-Star game. Is a hockey high.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we talk about some of the hockey highs that we've had in Section 328, and, you know, I think about the guys over in Cell Block 303 and all the fun they had during the Stanley Cup Finals. While they did not come out on top, they had a lot of fun harassing other goaltenders. During the All-Star game that was held here in Raleigh, the first period goalie was Marc-Andre Fleury. He was protecting the net on the end of the arena, which Section 328 inhabits. And after he had given up three goals on five shots, we goalie chanted Marc-Andre Fleury 10 minutes into an All-Star game. The Cell Block 303 guys, we love them. We think they're great. We were the original generators of the goalie chant, and we goalie chanted Marc-Andre Fleury, at which point he looked up at our section, literally skated over towards us, raised both arms, and kind of shrugged like, what do you want from me? It's the All-Star game. And at that point, Derek, we both knew we had arrived.
Yep. We were in his head.
It was great. It was also an interesting weekend in the fact that was the first NHL All-Star draft. Eric Staal was a captain. I'm trying to remember who the Western captain was at that point. I don't think it really matters. Eric Staal chose Cam Ward first. I remember that.
Was it Zetterberg?
It may have been Zetterberg. Do you remember who was chosen last?
Phil Kessel.
Yes, Phil Kessel.
He got a Honda CRV out of the deal, though.
Well, I was going to say, was it a CRV or was it a Pilot?
Maybe a Pilot.
Yeah, it was a mid-size SUV, which is perfect for a guy who loves hot dogs. I don't know. I love Philip J. Kessel. I think he's wonderful, and I wish him nothing but the best. And I heard he gave the Honda to a family member, and Phil Kessel's a nice guy like that, so... All-Star weekend is a ton of fun. My highlight of that weekend, Derek, we received a call from an old friend from Canada who wanted to come and hang out with us, but unfortunately couldn't come out that evening. And that is a very vague story, but it's a vague, very, very vague story for a reason. The person on the other end of the line may hold a title somewhere in hockey lore that we can't really talk about. So come out to the end of season tailgate. I tell you what, come out to the live podcast.
I'm really confused. I can't think.
Yeah, you do know this story, but I'm not going to tell it right now. If you want to know the rest of this story, come out to the live podcast next Saturday at Bottle Mix on February 2nd. Off the air, I'm happy to tell this story. I guess you know this story, and I'll, as soon as we're off the air, I'll remind you. But okay. If you, anybody who wants to know the rest of this story who may not have heard it, our NHL All-Star Weekend story where we were near greatness.
Yes. All right, I'm tracking with you now.
We'll tell that live off the air during the live podcast next weekend, February 2nd at Bottle Mix. That's a tease. So...
in a way, so is the story itself.
So much. So, speaking of teases, Derek, February 25th is the national. I believe it is February 25th. The National Hockey League trade deadline.
Yes.
And the number one team being talked about at the trade deadline is currently your Carolina Hurricanes.
Ooh, my Carolina Hurricanes?
Your Carolina Hurricanes?
Huh.
Are we trading Jeff Skinner? No.
No.
Are we trading Eric's?
No.
Are we trading Camp?
Nope.
Are we trading Sebastian?
Nope.
Who are we trading, Derek?
Probably going to be Michael Ferland. And it sounds like Toronto is eyeing Brett Pesce pretty hard, which I can't blame them for. But the name I want to talk about, Mike, and we talked a little bit before this, is Michael Ferland. And as soon as the Canes got Nino Niederreiter, a bigger forward, Niederreiter doesn't play the same physical agitator style of game that Ferland does, but they shoot the puck, they have a big body, they're not afraid to use the body. They do have some similar skill sets, and the way that Niederreiter's been scoring has been great for this team, and I think it just even cements the fact that Ferland's getting traded based on all the contract discussions that have happened. So to me, what is going to be interesting to watch is the teams that we could trade Ferland to that would benefit us the most are teams that aren't competing for playoffs, right? They are teams that maybe want to build for the future, and they think they could sign Ferland to a long-term deal, but they could give us maybe another impact forward who's maybe on a shorter deal or something along those lines. Where I see that we could more likely trade Ferland to is a team who could use him for this playoff run, and they are less concerned with the ability to re-sign him, and then we get a good pick and a prospect. I don't know if that benefits the Hurricanes as much now. Maybe that just gives us more ammo to trade those additional prospects for an impact forward that we so desperately need. You mentioned to me, and you didn't mention what it was before we started talking about this on the air, you have a thought for the Michael Ferland trade that is likely to chap my ass.
Well,
so I'm curious to hear what this trade is, Mike.
So as we were talking about this off the air in hashtag show prep, we said, okay, well, what would you want to trade Michael Ferland for? And I said, you know, a first round draft pick and a mid-grade prospect. And you said, no, I think we should trade something else. Do you recall what it was you said?
Yeah, I thought we, in an ideal world, we would trade Ferland and Pesce together to the same team for a high-impact forward and a lesser-quality defenseman, whether that's a, you know, that kind of fringe NHLer, AHLer-level defenseman.
Okay. And I said, okay, I can tell you exactly what that trade looks like, and it's going to chap your ass. So, who's been scouting Brett Pesce?
Toronto.
So, if you were to look at Toronto and you want a mid-grade and you set a top six forward.
Oh, it absolutely has to be top six. And the ceiling, I think, should be higher than second line. I think the forward that we would need to get back has a top line ceiling.
Okay. So, maybe this is a play, but so here's the trade offer from Kyle Dubas based upon your thought. I will trade you Michael Ferland and Brett Pesce for Naz Kadri and Ron Ainsey. That's basically what you said you wanted. A 6'7 defenseman and a top six forward who could potentially slide into the first line if you needed him. And maybe, you know, power play minutes. Is it that Naz Kadri and...
So here's the thing. Okay. Neither of those guys have a ceiling anymore. They are both to the age where they have peaked or have regressed.
Okay. So you want to trade two guys who are over 26 years old, and one of the guys you're trading for has to be sub 24 is what you're saying.
How old is Brett Pesce?
I don't know. Brett Pesce is like 37, I think.
No. I think Pesce's, hell,
he's 23.
He's 23?
Yeah, he's 23.
Okay, and Ferland is?
26.
Okay.
So they are, neither of them have hit their statistical peak in the NHL.
You told me the statistical peak in the National Hockey League is 27.
Right.
And you know, let's check that with SAP.
Mm-hmm.
They're not tracking that. Here's a stat from Gary Bettman's thing today. Gary Bettman announced that SAP is going to help with tracking all of the players and the pucks. 85% of those stats are false.
Ah, okay. So yeah, okay.
I don't know. But again, I think that's the problem with it, right? Because when you say that's what you're looking for, I'm afraid that's what we're going to get. So I'm of the opinion that you take a first and a mid-grade prospect for Michael Ferland, or a high second. That high second has to be coming from a non-playoff team. I think there's a great chance Calgary makes a play for Michael Ferland. You know, because...
Huh?
Why not?
Because they just traded him.
Right. But they traded him because they needed to get rid of Dougie Hamilton. He was the add-in to balance out that trade. If you can take back a player like Michael Ferland, so think about the top teams. Where does he land, right? Michael Ferland fits perfectly on Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Ferland fits with a defenseman playing PP 2 minutes and a third line grit role with Toronto.
Ooh, can you guess the team who I'm thinking is going to trade for him?
Pittsburgh.
Yes.
He fits perfectly with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Ferland is a modern-day Chris Kunitz, right?
That they're both hockey players.
And that he's annoying when he's not playing on your team. He gets power play points when it doesn't seem like he should.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would look great carrying Sidney Crosby's junk.
Yeah, he's a more physical, less fast Chris Kunitz.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see any one of those, but again, with I don't think we're trading him inside the Metropolitan Division, so I think that immediately rejects Washington, Pittsburgh, and the Islanders. You know, maybe you do in the Atlantic. Preferably, you send him out west. So you look at who are the contenders out west. San Jose doesn't really need a player like Michael Ferland. He doesn't really fit into that flow. I don't think they need him in Nashville.
Maybe he goes to the land of misfit toys.
Winnipeg?
Vegas.
Oh my gosh, yes. Michael Ferland in Vegas to go ahead and give them some extra power. I like that, Derek.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's well played. You know what? I'm going to be quiet and let you take the conversation from here because I don't think I can top that.
Well, then let's move the hell on. Oh, you are actually being quiet. Okay. So I was going to say, let's move on from the Michael Ferland deal. And do you want to talk free agents today, or should we save that for another podcast? Because we've already gone long enough on some of these things.
We probably should, but maybe we'll do this as we ramp back up from the All-Star break. Or maybe we'll do a special edition, you know, short one on the All-Star break, talking about free agents and UFAs and RFAs and the craziness that's out there. But I agree. So thanks for bringing up a topic that we're just going to skip over, Derek. Please continue.
No. It's tease, Mike. We talked about doing teases. So what is coming up, though, much sooner than free agency, much sooner than the trade deadline, it is next Saturday. So within the next week, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, it'll be the second annual live Cheaters Never Win at Bottle Mix on Creedmoor Road. You know where the hell they're located. They're south of 540. They're north of Crabtree Mall. They're behind a Wendy's and a Jiffy Lube in a wonderful shopping center. Bottle Mix is back there. They have all your wine, all your beer. And on Saturday, February 2nd at 1:00 in the afternoon, they're going to have Mike. They're going to have Derek. They're going to have the Cheaters Never Win podcast live in-house featuring all their draft beer. They have 10 taps. They've got a wine machine with like 12, I forget if they have 12 or 16 different bottles of wine essentially on tap. So if you're not a beer drinker, you're a wine drinker, you are covered for things to enjoy during the podcast. So check us out, section328.com. Check it out on Facebook. We have event pages set up. Grab your tickets. The tickets are totally free. They are free $99. But we just want to know how many of you are coming so that way we can have Bottle Mix set up to accommodate the crowd that's going to be there. I know Bruce has told me they're going to have some really good beer on tap, and I believe him because they have really good beer on tap all the damn time. Mike and I are going to be bringing some swag to give away. We're going to be bringing some t-shirts, some Section 328 merch to give away. We're going to bring some Canes memorabilia to give away as well. And we're going to be raffling a lot of this off for the Hurricanes Foundation. Used to be the Canes Kids and Community Foundation, now the Carolina Hurricanes Foundation. They do so much great work in and around the community, so we want to help give back to the hockey family. And the Hurricanes Foundation also wish that we mentioned the Canes Bash is coming up. So the Canes Bash is coming up.
Yeah, February 17th, I believe I will potentially be there pending work.
You believe you will potentially be there pending.
Just waiting for my work schedule to kind of play out, but yeah, no, really excited for going over to Bottle Mix next weekend, Derek. Please come out, join us. The more, the merrier.
Oh,
they have such good beers. Like last time, they had a barrel aged Oscar Blues 1050 that was just made me only be able to see out of one eye. But man,
and
it
they
was
tapped
delicious.
That at 2 o'clock after we'd already been there for an hour and a half. So giving that like high alcohol beer to a crowd that had already had a few beers was just that certain thing that sent the whole crowd over the edge, and it was delightful. So yeah, we had a fantastic time with that. The other thing I wanted to say that we're going to be doing at the live podcast that we always do is we want your live cheat mail.
Yeah.
So come with questions, either have them in your head, have them written down that you'll read to us, or if you want to get that gold star, deliver the mail to us.
Yeah,
you know who you are that we're talking to. We love it.
Yes, we do love it. Also, we will have a very, very special guest, former NHL player.
Oh, right.
The smarts to the, dare I say, the brains behind the Hurricanes live pregame show. The one, the only Shane Willis, one of the five best one-timers in Carolina Hurricanes history. If you don't believe that, fight me. Come to the live podcast in front of Shane and tell me five people who have had five better one-timers than Shane Willis had in his heyday, and we can discuss it. But Shane Willis will be live on the panel with us there at Bottle Mix, taking not only your questions but chatting with us about the final 32 games of the Carolina Hurricanes season. It's sandwiched between two really good games, Holmes games. Friday night, the Canes will be back from the All-Star break taking on Vegas and then back again on Sunday. So come out on Saturday, get your full dose of Carolina Hurricanes hockey, and support us helping out not only one of our best sponsors, Bottle Mix, but also the Carolina Hurricanes Foundation. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be some like really, really awesome stuff raffled off.
I believe you.
I mean, like, literally, maybe if we trade Justin Falk between now and then, maybe we auction off the hey, Section 328, thanks for the support
so
thing.
I don't know how big of an item that would be.
Derek, that would be huge. It's huge, Derek. It's huge. Derek, you know what else is huge? People's response to cheat mail this week. Gotta get that cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta get that cheat mail. Derek, it's All-Star weekend here. Let's go to the cheat mail question. Cheat mail. Does Nino take 22 if Bet Preshy gets moved? And what does that mean for all of the people who already bought 21 Nino jerseys?
Well, if you bought 21 Nino jerseys, you have an excessively large jersey budget.
Yes, you do.
Now, I think
that's from our buddy Andy Cullen, by the way. Thanks for sending it, Andy.
I think if Brett Pesce does get moved before the trade deadline, Nino's not going to change numbers this season.
No, you don't change numbers mid-season.
Yeah,
are you, an animal?
That may happen next season, and if that does happen next season, to anybody who bought a Nino 21 jersey, you can have that next to your 21 Francis jersey.
Yeah, just change it to Francis. I like that.
Yeah.
Good thought, Derek.
Thanks, I try. This is from Carl Smith. We kind of touched on it, but Mike wanted to get your definitive input from our buddy Carl Smith at NSCALE Carl. Now that we have Nino, is Furland gone for sure?
So I'll break it down for you. So Carl actually said a long time ago, that is N-Scale Carl. He's actually a railroad, like a model railroad guy.
See, so I started reading it and I was thinking it was like NCSA, and I just transposed the letters.
Yeah.
And I really got thrown off, and yeah. I now realize that I read that like a complete idiot.
Thanks for being an idiot, Derek. It helps me keep my job. In scale, Carl, Michael Ferlin is gone. Him and Nino Niederreiter, unfortunately, are redundant pawns on Eric Tulski's massive chessboard. And if you pick whichever rumor you believe.
At first, I thought you were going to say Eric Tulski's massive chest, and I was like, whoa, Tulski with the hashtag gains?
Supposedly, Michael Ferland is asking for somewhere between Tom Wilson money and Evander Kane money.
Two really stand-up people.
And looking for term similar, which is going to be 5+ years. If that's the case, I do not believe Michael Ferland is the player that is going to be the Kane that the Canes need. Because let's talk about that top six, right? That top six of Toivo, Svech, Aho, Niederreiter, potentially Nachos, and throw in another player. I don't think Ferland is that sixth player you want in that top six. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't fit into that top six, he's then a top nine player. And then you're paying Tom Wilson or Evander Kane for a third line player. That's not where we need to be spending our money. Let's be smart, Caniacs. Let's not overpay. Let's focus on where things are at. We're not winning the Stanley Cup this year. We are not the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's look to the future.
Okay.
Derek, this one from our buddy Al Hood. Hope you're feeling better, Al. Besides corn dog nuggets, what are some of the things that PNC is missing
Ooh.
To provide a better game day experience? This is a fun question.
It's a fun question. First and foremost, because Mike... The 3 and 328 signifies the level of the arena in which we sit.
Cheap seats.
I would say one of the biggest things that could lead to a better game day experience in the PNC Arena is having every damn concession stand open on the 300 level for a game. And having the concession stands staffed with a reasonable amount of people to advance the lines so that in the first intermission, the lines still aren't 26 deep to get hot dogs when the puck drops in the second period. I think that would help the game day experience a tremendous amount. So I don't know what it takes. If it's you can't find people to work, if it's you're relying too much on volunteers, if it's the what you're paying people don't want to do it, find some people. Open the damn concessions booths. I don't necessarily want a twisted waffle cone all the time. I don't want sliced all the time, but I want those to be open so everybody upstairs has the same options as everybody downstairs, because when you pay that money for a ticket to the game and at 6 games you get all the concession stands open and 4 games you don't, you're not getting the same value for your ticket every game, and that sucks.
I think you are spot on there, Derek, but I'm going to expand this a little bit. Having been okay. to a few arenas around the National Hockey League, the Carolina Hurricanes have a couple of small, let's call them inlets in the concourse where they have kind of set up little mini bars. I believe Deep River Brewing has one. There's one downstairs that is solely for the pretty people in the lower level. But there's no real kind of cordoned off from the rest of the arena bar. I think there needs to be a space inside the arena where you can come in and congregate pre-game in a more sports bar-like atmosphere. There are these in Toronto. There are these in Nashville. They have them in Chicago.
Dallas, kind of, Florida.
Exactly. All of those places that we have been for drafts, there are places there. Phillies is actually outside because, you can't give the heathens inside the Wells Fargo Center actual alcoholic beverages. But... So something like that. And here's my second, as the, dare I say, the owner of a current 4-year-old who has made the top of the escalators on the 300 level his personal hockey/soccer rink. There are no areas within the arena to allow kids to do anything besides just randomly roam or watch hockey. There needs to be areas. Mm-hmm. I think in Toronto, there's an area kind of adjacent to the arena that has like games and bubble hockey. And the Canes have the ability to do this, right? They have their slap shot stuff and they have a nice bubble hockey machine down in the eye. If you were to denote some square footage in the upper level and lower level of the arena for kind of cordoned off kids play area, I think that delivers not only value to the children, but value to the parents who may want to be like, hey, wife, or hey, husband, I'm going to go get a couple of beverages for us while you hang out and the kid actually enjoys themselves versus, hey, just hang out with the kid and make up a game until we go back into the lower bowl or the upper bowl. So those are two things. Corn dog nuggets are another. I also think the food in the arena has become stale. I think it needs a 100% complete revamp to have a local feel, to have a better feel. We are better than the shit that they serve in the arena. I'm talking to you, Diamond. I'm talking to you, Flood. What we have in the arena is basically overpriced shit. If you'd like to defend your shit, come on here and talk to me and we can talk about it. I've been in the building 20 years. You're wrong. What the food in the building has drastically gone down. Now the fun, some of the fun stuff that we've done that has been the North Carolina focused stuff, bullshit. Some of it is, let's take two of the things that we sell in the arena that we don't have to recook and put them together and put a sauce on top of them and call them a new dish. Bullshit. What's in the arena sucks. And when ESPN said we're the 30th of 31st arenas in the NHL in terms of cleanliness, I think we're also that in terms of quality. Come at me.
The barbecue nachos used to be a great deal.
Used to be a great deal.
They were, it was $7.50 for the same size you get now for, I think, what, 10 and a quarter?
Yes.
And that wasn't that many seasons ago.
And nothing's changed. The quality of the barbecue has gone down. The quality of the chips have gone down. And nothing's changed with it. And I get it. You don't have to change hot dogs. But you can't not change hot dogs and then not give me the ability to be like, oh, hey. Like, for example, on the 300 level, there's not a stormy meal with a hot dog and fries on the menu because there's no space for it. But if you've been there for 20 years, you can order it and they'll give it to you. Otherwise, you don't know that it exists.
Yeah. And the concessions jumping more than 10% every year is ridiculous. That's not a cost of living adjustment. It's getting absurd. So, calm the hell down, because I was buying large beers, like the large Linwood beers, which I thoroughly enjoy, were like $9.50 or $10 3 years ago. Now they're $13. Stupid.
The Canes have done some fun things like $5 Bud Lights on Fridays. I appreciate that. I like that. I like what Tom Dundon has reinjected. Here's, you know, I am all for everybody having a job and everybody working. If I were to encourage Tom Dundon to hire one new person, it would be to hire somebody to revamp all of the concessions inside PNC Arena, because currently they suck.
I'd love to argue with you, Mike, but I can't. So,
Should we go to another cheat mail, Derek? Maybe
get us fired up? No, we're not topping
that. Derek, F. Yeah. Mary Kill in preparation for an epic spring tailgate, because you know, we actually change up our menus every now and then. What is the best technique for consuming Jell-O shots? F. Mary Kill, Derek, on Jell-O shots. Squeeze it, finger it and suck it out, tongue it and suck it out. This one coming from our buddy Bruiser 365.
It's BR User 365.
Here's what I know. I know he sits downstairs. He's one of the pretty people, and he has a goddamn delight. So, Jell-O shots, suck it, finger it, lick it. F Mary Kill, Derek.
Woo! I'm glad there's context on this one, Mike. And this is tricky. So, okay. I'm going to kill just sucking the Jell-O shot out of the plastic container.
Okay.
That is an exercise in futility that is going to leave way too much of the Jell-O shot affixed to the plastic, right? You can't...
It can also murder you, right? Because if you are sucking that hard, it may just become lodged in your throat, and then you die. In the 17 years of the Section 328 tailgate, only one person has almost died.
Yeah.
Only one. We don't want it to be two.
No, not at all. So I'm killing just sucking it.
Okay.
I think I'm going to... Jesus. Answering this question is so absurd.
It's so great.
Thank you, Emil, for this question. I'm going to F tonguing it. Because it's the same... It's the same principle, basically, at least in the sphere of Jell-O shots. It's the same principle as using a finger to loosen the shot from the plastic. But the tongue is not an effective tool, is not as effective of a tool as your finger. And so for that reason, I'm going to marry fingering your Jell-O shot and then sucking it out.
Okay, so Derek, while I want to agree with you,
yes,
I have to say you're wrong, because most Section 328 tailgates do not involve antibacterial soap.
There's booze in the Jell-O shot, Mike.
And
Jesus.
Most of them have gone on for 4 to 6 hours before, so I do not know where your hands have been. So I would politely ask you to keep your hands out of my Jell-O shot.
You finger your own business.
If somebody will clip that and then send it to me, I would appreciate it.
Mike will PayPal you $5 Canadian.
Derek, tell these beautiful folks about what's drinking in your glass tonight.
So tonight in the Bottlemix Beer Review, we have talked about Bottlemix, where you can find us for the live podcast next Saturday, 1 o'clock, February 2nd. It's a great time to get all of your Super Bowl beverages, whether they beer, wine, champagne. They have sake, they have port. If you just want to drink a bottle of port during the Super Bowl, more power to you. But tonight I'm actually drinking something from Wolf's Ridge Brewing out of Columbus, Ohio. I had family in town. They came in from, you'll never believe this, Ohio, and brought me some beer that I can't get around here. So I'm not going to tell you too much about this beer. This is a coffee vanilla cream ale. It tastes like a delightful combination of cream soda and coffee, and I love it. What I would suggest you do between now and Saturday, and then again on Saturdays, go to Bottle Mix. Come out there, get some beer, get some wine. They're on 540. You know where they are. They have all kinds of events going on. And yeah, that's kind of my beer review for tonight, Mike. Short and sweet, because it's not a beer that everybody else here can get.
Derek, the good folks at Bottle Mix are ready. Last year, we had 50 people come out for the live podcast. It was one of their best days of the year. And we're asking all of you, our friends, our podcast listeners, to please come out, join us, help us support our best sponsor at Bottle Mix. Also, please support our other sponsor,
Our
other best sponsor, Don, from Fathom Realty.
I don't like to put labels on sponsors. All our sponsors are our best sponsors.
Don's never got me drunk. On purpose.
Okay, that's fair.
So please come out, join us. I'm sure we'll have some swag from Don, our Caniac underscore Realtor.
Respect the underscore.
And the good folks at Bottle Mix, great beers, great time. Again, Shane Willis. I'm sure there'll be some special guests. We'll have lots of swag that we'll be giving away, lots of swag that we'll be raffling off, maybe some stuff that we'll be auctioning off. I think everything's just going to kind of ramp up as the week goes along. We will have, at that point, been 7 days without hockey. We will be just roaming around this hockey.
Well, no, there's hockey. There's a hockey game on the first, Mike.
Oh yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
We might still be drunk on the hockey from
Friday
night.
There you go. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. So here's all I know. we only have a couple of times a year where we have dedicated nights or dedicated afternoons to say, let's all get together, let's talk about our team, and let's have some fun, let's support a great cause. This is one of them. So I can't say, we say this a lot, and we say thank you to all of you. This is the one time that we ask of you to come out and help us support our sponsor, help us support the Carolina Hurricanes Foundation, support us, but allow us to personally look you in the eye, shake your hand, and say thank you, because you guys do mean the world to us. We are now 6 seasons into this, carrying the beautiful strap of the reigning, defending, undefeated, undisputed, reigning heavyweight champion of the Raleigh podcast scene, regardless of what WRAL out and about said. And we just appreciate it. And we thank you guys for listening. We thank you guys for putting up with us. But most importantly, we thank you for supporting those who have taken the time to support us. We're talking about Don. We're talking about Bottle Mix. We're talking about the likes of Shane Willis and Mike Smith, who took nights, who took times out of their nights and their afternoon to spend talking to us and you, our beautiful Caniac friends. So, again, thank you guys for joining us 3 miles north of the Beltline, 3 miles north of Crabtree and the Beltline.
Yep.
About a mile and a half south of 540. Bottle Mix, you'll be able to hear about it on Twitter, on Facebook. Tickets aren't required to get in, but if you do see any of the links, please do click on the get your ticket, so that way it allows us to understand how many folks are going to come, so that way we make sure we have plenty of seats and all of the right logistics to support you guys, our good friends, our fans. And it feels crazy saying that, but it's been a lot of fun, this ride. Please keep supporting us and keep supporting our sponsors, so that way Derek gets his heart back to writing about hockey, and we continue this podcast.
What was the last thing you wrote?
I'm a producer. I am the award-winning producer of the longest reigning, defending, undefeated, undisputed Carolina Hurricanes podcast in Raleigh. We will look forward to seeing you. I'm looking at you. I'm pointing right at your face.
Right through your damn car stereo. Pointing at you.
You.
In the middle of traffic. You. Yeah. Not to the left. No. You right there.
Looking at
right
you.
Right there.
Hey, Derek, guess what?
What?
We're giving away a team-signed autographed stick next week.
Oh, we are, huh?
Come out, Carolina Hurricanes Foundation. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we'll see you next week at the live podcast. Until then, bia?
Bia!